And we're back with another edition of Zoomed In, and I'm joined by two phenomenal individuals. One of them is Jonah Firestone at WC Tri-Cities. He's an assistant professor of science education, and the other is almost as phenomenal, Don McMahon, an associate professor of special education and the director of the Vertigo Lab in Cleveland Hall here in Pullman. This is, I would say, a story of a competition and the research that was behind you taking part in a competition. That competition was the multidisciplinary team grant, and it was offered by the Office of Research and Graduate School. So you were both able to take part in this, and the award prize, I think, was $50,000. And
plus an RA.
Yeah, yeah. And you almost won.
And yes. This is our third time being the finalists, and that's kind of cool.
56 times the charm, so just keep going.
We really are, as a team, the Charlie Brown of this competition, where as we about to kick the football, we almost get there. But, you know, it was kind of cool. We were the only College of Education program project there. We were really, you know, the other projects were, there was one on entomology, one from interior design, and one creating robots that pick apples. So, you know, a lot of high power proposals in there. So it was, we were proud to compete.
Robots that pick apples.
Well,
I mean,
it's not just robots that pick apples. There's robots that help pick a lot of apples and part of a much larger grant about agriculture and robotics.
Okay. And that's the one that my understanding is one. I mean, if I were a judge, you come back to me when that robot can also do a hot stone massage at the same time. But congratulations for making it, you know, to that point and being one of those four that was being examined. So talk about the research, and which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah. So our project really is, we think, kind of a fun, elegant solution to that we can apply to lots of different things. I'm going to share my presentation here real quick with you. All right, that working?
Yep.
And so, remember Choose Your Own Adventure books, Jonah?
I do indeed.
Weren't they great?
They were.
Fun and elegant, yes.
Yes. So our project is a Choose Your Own Adventure VR video authoring tool. And, you know, we can create these video models to teach a lot of different skills. Jonah and I started working on this project thinking about video modeling from the first person's point of view on social skills. And so in our first one here that you'll see, or next slide here, you can see this incredible social skills situation that is happening. Where do you want to eat, Brandon?
Oh, that's a good question. My family usually fights over what movie are we going to watch, but that does make sense. Where do you want to eat?
So the choice here, and you see here in our prototype, they'll go through these selections and they can click Starbucks or Panda Express or Subway. And the next video clip will play that explains, you know, the outcome of that event. Maybe they'll say Starbucks, and one of the two people there in that next clip will go, they don't really have that many food options. What else is there? You know, and then something else will happen. But with our solution, we can record these first person videos and explain or teach a lot of different skills. And Jonah and I started thinking that this would be an incredible way that we could support science education.
So if I say, hey, Google, what kind of things do they have at Starbucks? Would I not already get a response? You know, my phone is actually going off now since I said that, but would it not already come back and say, according to the site, whatever, Starbucks is not known for many food options? So
it would, and it's not a good choice to go eat. No offense to Starbucks, but the whole idea is it's how you come to the decision. And for when we're talking about social skills, making decisions and reading a room and making appropriate choices and seeing what happens next is vitally important, because Google will tell you every option, but it doesn't tell you what the best option might be for you or for everybody else.
Yeah, Jonah, and I think you can understand too, how many times do we have to say, hey, Don, read the room, you know? So, yeah. But social skills, and Don, you're in special education. So I know for a fact that you've interacted a lot with the ROAR program, and teaching social skills is one of the classes. So I would assume it goes beyond special education, but is that part of the research and the integration of this?
Yeah. So our partners on this right now, what we were hoping to create is an authoring tool where we record these videos and they're played in a VR headset. And you can see here in this shot, see how there's two fisheye lenses that are happening there. So we're shooting 4K video in each for each eye. And when you put this on, it looks like you're really here from that person's point of view.
Hello, and today we are going to make a cup of coffee.
So
step one, turn on the power.
In this exciting video, you talk through the steps of how to make a cup of coffee. But in one that I'll show you here in a second, we worked with some of our partners at the virtual lab at the medical school and shot first person video of going through a medical procedure for a head injury. And at the end of that, they'll be prompted a question. Did the patient pass this neurological exam? And if
so, there could also be, I would imagine, a lot of application for rehabilitation, doing simple tasks even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in this one, let's just watch the experience.
Okay, you're just going to follow my finger here. Keep your head still. There you go.
I find myself falling.
Job.
So think about how many different situations we can apply this potentially to, where you can watch a short video clip and then be prompted and with a question. And you know, Jonah could create these for a science lab. We have a partner who does the science labs on the Vancouver campus, right, Jonah?
Yeah.
Dawn Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's interested in applying this for one of the introductory chemistry labs. Think about how helpful this could have been in the early stages of the pandemic if we had, not that it was a mistake that they didn't fund us 3 years ago, so we would have had these all built up, but it was kind of a mistake for them.
Not saying that, but I can see test prep, study guides, like the applications of this, mm-hmm. Are pretty enormous.
Well,
the other thing is, I mean, yeah,
go on, Don,
for these VR headsets, like Jonah, like when you play a video game, right? And that you beat the video game, the credits start rolling and it's like the credits of a movie. There's hundreds of people that to create like a fully like digital interactive science lab, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's incredibly expensive and time consuming to make any digital version, any computer graphic version of a science lab. It's actually millions of dollars are spent.
Here, we could go to the WSU chemistry lab, shoot this video in the first person using our cameras, and have our actors reach forward and interact with materials. And this is a little camera that we use, and we suspend it near their head, but you don't want the person wearing it because you'll get motion sick, but just kind of lives above their head. We take the footage, we edit it up and create a kind of choose your own adventure system here, where let's say the patient didn't pass, then it goes on to the next step based off of those, and we record that situation as well. So,
and I think, Brandon, what you're aiming at is that it can be applied to a plethora of situations. I mean, when we're talking about just purely academic, I have anatomy labs, anthropology labs for physical, asking, could we do this in their spaces on the Tri-Cities campus? I was just having a discussion about occupational therapy and what an occupational therapist does. And it occurred to me during that discussion that this would be perfect because of a lot of the decision making that has to be done while you're working with patients who have maybe suffered a stroke and then need practice in daily living and how you would interact with these patients or even for the patients themselves for how they would then do make decisions on what happens next. And then if something goes wrong, how, what decisions can you make to then go back? And that goes along to the decision tree that Don is showing right now.
Okay.
So we'd record videos for, you know, kind of 1 to 2, 3 minute videos for each one of these potential scenarios as it goes through. And think about the potential of going through this, getting to see the right answer through trial and error and making decisions. You'd also get to see the outcome, let's say of a chemistry lab, of what are some of the wrong outcomes that can potentially happen. And think about how many things in your own life, Brandon, that you've learned to do the right way by doing them totally wrong the first time.
That's everything. Everything is, I do totally wrong. I'm imagining this in terms of trainings for, let's say, I've got a teenage driver, for example, driver's ed. Nothing obviously can replace being behind the wheel of a car, but going through those scenarios, not just a little video, but really immersing yourself in that situation, and maybe it becomes more real. You know, when you maybe the video is you are looking down at a hypothetical phone and blow through a stop sign, and you see that car, you know, coming at you.
And
a quarterback, you know, you know, here's when you do or don't, you know, pick up the blitz. Here are the options. So your tree, here's what happens on the one, here's what happens in the other. Crunch, you know.
I like it. Yeah. So you're right. You know, VR video practice, it won't replace the need to, you know, physically get in the car and do that practice, but, and it won't replace all science labs either. But before you go into that one shot that you have in that hour and a half lab, where if you do mix the chemicals wrong, you've blown up the lab. Well, sorry, you are not going to successfully complete the lab activity. Hopefully you didn't actually blow up the lab, but it is a one-time event. Here you go ahead before that and practice how to do one of those activities and become familiar with them and some of the potential outcomes in advance.
I never had a chance to blow up a lab. The teachers just knew, they wouldn't let me within a square mile of a pipette or anything else. So I'm just saying, and I would like to be in Tahiti as well.
Yeah.
Yes, we definitely like our penguins. And beyond that, also, you, once the lab is over, you might have missed something. And so you can go back and you can practice it, and then you for an exam or just as a refresher. So you can kind of see how you can embed this type of lab, not as a replacement, but as a support both before, during, and after hands-on lab experiences across WSU, and even also through K through 12. As a former K through 12 chemistry and geology and physics teacher, I would have loved to have had my students practice a couple of those labs before I let them loose to set fire to my chem lab.
you got to pass this. It's just like a probation before you can do this. I mean, obviously and disappointingly, you guys weren't number one. You were like first loser or second loser or wherever they had you with the team grant. But talk about the funding anyway. Like, what kind of funding have you received for this, if any, thus far? And what do you need, I guess, to really move this work forward?
Yeah, we were lucky enough to win the Amazon Catalyst Award, which was a $10,000 initial award that Joan and I received in 2018, I think. It's hard to remember now.
I remember that.
It was in the before times.
Yes.
Jonah and I were in the same before place. COVID. That's and right. Yeah, I think one of the things that we really need at this point, would we were excited about with the funding, was both the $50,000 which for some equipment, which would be helpful, and some student time for programming, but really that dedicated research assistant to help get a lot of the videos recorded. Because while this is easier than computer programming, there's still, you know, I went out and filmed that video at the medical school, which means, you know, I had to drive it to Spokane and do the recording and do the multiple steps of that. Having some support for some of those means that we could create more of those scenarios, and then also kind of just improve. I think you saw our shot of the prototype there with the Starbucks situation that was shot there in the lab in the first shot. We'd really like to keep working on refining that user interface and making it easier for, you know, people like Jonah and I to put the video clips in the right order and create the content. Those are some of them anyways.
And to be very clear, like the amount of impact that something like $50,000 can have on this project is enormous. So unlike other projects that's like a drop in the budget of what they need to create a giant physical apparatus or a robot or whatever, we for $50,000 and an RA, for small amounts of funding, we can produce multiple videos, especially in partnership with professors across the entire WSU system, to start this process to then pilot for larger grants that could then support even more videos, and also a repository so people across WSU, regardless of campus, could log on from home and then interact with these videos on their own. So it's kind of amazing how just a small amount of money can have a ripple effect across WSU if we can embed these videos more into these classes, and professors want it. I mean, I'm asked about this type of technology and can we develop it? And it's just a matter of getting kind of the impetus, the small amount to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I think the applications are enormous. We've mentioned that. And the sky's really the limit. I mean, we could just start brainstorming all day long. Making it actually practical, though, I mean, honestly, I see the direct correlation with the medical college as one. And then within our own college, certainly as an assistive technology, right, with WSU Roar, maybe other students as well. But I mean, they're there, right, which is really heartening that there are things that are pretty tangible in front of us and certainly within the realm of possibilities very soon. So,
yeah, you know, one of an easy application I think that would make a lot of sense for this as well is just think about being able to test out successfully and record the students' progress and demonstration of their understanding of safety procedures. Like in a chemistry lab, how often do you actually pull off the eyewash station and, you know, or engage in the emergency shower at the, you know, chemistry thing? You don't generally want to test that because it's going to create a huge mess that you get to mop up, but you could go through and demonstrate all of those safety procedures here in VR pretty easily. And we can record those events and have that opportunity for everyone to demonstrate, yes, I know what to do in case in the unlikely event I put something horrible in my eye. And
you almost need the apparatus, whether it's like an Oculus or something else, to be almost that 4D, you know, like they have it like Universal. So you hit the water, the shower water, and it's like splashing you with water. you're in it at that point. You're very much in it.
Later this week, I have a meeting with a company that is actually working on smell-o-vision for these. So,
oh my gosh, that introduces a
yeah. I'm excited to see where the meeting will go. But yeah, I can just we'll come think up. About how many ways that can. I think they're mostly trying to go with relaxing smells.
I was gonna say we'll talk about all the possibilities offline. Well, I think this is really cool research. You guys, I'm you're one of your biggest fans, and I'm rooting for you. I definitely want to see additional funding for this. And boy, I'd love to see it next year. You know, I'd love to see you guys take this one. This is cool. But if not,
4 times the charm.
Yeah, 56 times the charm. But If not, I know there's something out there. Really cool research, and I definitely can see the benefits for this. And, you know, keep on keeping on. This is not the only thing you're working on. So I realize that it's you both have heavy lifts, but this is one that I can see the end result would be very, very beneficial, very in line with our land grant. So, yeah. Any last words? I always debate whether I should give you the baton, Don. But
yeah, I'd say, you know, if you're interested in learning more about it, feel free to reach out. If you're interested in supporting foundation and development, knows who we are, you can give to the labs that make this happen. They'll make sure that it gets to us, and that'll help us hire some more student workers to help make this happen.
Jonah, any last words from the WCU Tri-Cities?
I would say that basically this type of technology is already out of the bottle. It's happening, and WSU can be on the forefront of this and make sure that the types of videos that are going to come out and that are available for students and the community are educationally sound. And we want to make sure that it benefits everybody.
Cool. Thank you very much. Don McMahon, Jonah Firestone, two, I think I said phenomenal faculty members at the College of Education doing really cool work, melding science education, special education, virtual reality. It's a lot of fun. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep. Thank you.